We all know time is precious, especially these days. You want to stay informed, but who has the time to like get a PhD in economics just to understand what's going on with, you know, prices in your wallet, right?
Right.
And that's where we come in. Today, we're taking a deep dive into tariffs because this is a topic that keeps popping up in the news and it can have a big impact on how much you end up paying for pretty much everything. From groceries to gas, you name it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just recently, January 31st, 2025, there were a bunch of announcements about new tariffs. We're talking a possible 25% tariff on most stuff coming in from Canada and Mexico, with a slightly lower 10% on Canadian crude oil and energy. Then there's also a 10% tariff being planned for imports from China. So for you, our listeners, especially here in Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena, the question is, what does all this mean for the prices you see every day and for the bigger economic picture? So in this deep dive, we're going to try to unpack these tariff proposals and we'll explore some basic economic principles. We'll be drawing a lot on analysis from the Mises Institute to see what the ripple effects might be, you know, how these tariffs might actually play out in the real world.
Okay, so let's get right to it. What's the main argument against these tariffs?
Well, a lot of economists will tell you straight up that tariffs are basically taxes. They're taxes on Americans who buy things made in other countries.
Okay.
So think about it this way. You buy something that's been imported, right?
Right.
If a new tariff makes it more expensive to bring that product into the U.S., that extra cost, it usually gets passed along to you in the final price.
So basically, tariffs are like making us pay more for certain things.
Yeah, that's the main idea. And it's not even a new idea.
Really?
Back in the 1700s, Adam Smith, you know, the Wealth of Nations guy, he made this really good analogy. He said that, like, imagine you're managing a household. You wouldn't try to make everything yourself if it cost more than just buying it from someone who could make it better and cheaper.
Right. Makes sense.
He gave the example of a tailor buying shoes from a shoemaker and a farmer relying on both of them. He said, look, if this is true for a household, it probably makes sense for a whole nation too, right? Focus on what you're good at and trade for the rest.
Right. Like you specialize and then everyone benefits.
Exactly. Yeah. Specialization and trade. And Murray Rothbard, much later, he made this point even more strongly. He said, tariffs hurt the consumers in the country that imposes them because it stops them from getting lower priced goods from more efficient foreign producers.
So like we're purposely blocking ourselves from getting better deals.
Yeah, you could see it that way.
And there's also the argument that these tariffs, by protecting certain industries, might actually make them less efficient in the long run.
Yeah, that's a key point that Llewellyn Rockwell Jr. has made. He argues that if you shield domestic industries from international competition by using tariffs, they have less reason to innovate, to become more efficient, and to create more wealth. They can get kind of lazy, relying on that protection instead of upping their game.
Now, I've also heard the argument that tariffs could actually encourage foreign companies to move their production to the U.S. so they don't have to pay those taxes at the border, right?
Yeah, you hear that a lot, especially with the tariffs that were put in place a few years ago. But Rockwell also argued that the real benefit for American consumers isn't necessarily where a product is made. It's whether they can get the things they want at the best possible price.
I see.
So if a company in China can make something more efficiently and sell it cheaper, and then a tariff pushes production to the U.S. where it costs more, well, that ends up hurting the American consumer in the end.
So it's the lower price that matters most for the economy overall.
Exactly. And this gets to Rothbard's main critique of protectionism. He said it's not really about helping everyone. It's about favoring a small group of producers who aren't as efficient and can't compete in a free market. And they get this advantage at the expense of everyone else.
So who benefits?
A small group of producers.
And who pays the price?
All the consumers. Rothbard used the example of the so-called Japanese menace in certain industries back in the day to show how this plays out. And it's still relevant today. Trade is not a zero-sum game. It's not like one country wins and the other loses. When Americans buy stuff from other countries, it's usually because they see those products as a good value at that price. And the foreign producers benefit too, of course.
Right.
So when we use tariffs to limit trade, we're basically forcing American consumers to buy more expensive or maybe lower quality domestic stuff. And who wins? Just a handful of domestic companies. And the standard of living for everyone else might actually go down. It's like being forced to shop at the expensive store down the street when you know there's a better deal across town.
You know, it really makes you think. Like, if you imagine someone like, say, President Trump, who's a successful businessman,
yeah,
in his own companies, he'd want to make as much profit as possible.
Of course.
And keep costs low.
Right.
So it seems unlikely that he'd put a policy in place that would hurt his business.
Uh-huh.
So why would that same idea, when you apply it to the whole national economy, suddenly lead to prosperity if it just means higher prices for everyone and maybe less efficient businesses?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And Ludwig von Mises had something to say about this kind of interventionist thinking. He argued that a lot of the reasoning behind tariffs and other government interventions is that the government has its own stash of money, separate from the taxes they collect from us,
okay,
which they can then use to do whatever they want. But in reality, any money the government spends comes from its citizens, either directly through taxes or indirectly through things like, you guessed it, tariffs, which lead to higher prices.
And speaking of those higher prices, it's not just theoretical.
No, definitely not. People have actually tried to estimate the economic impact of large-scale tariffs.
Right.
For example, the Peterson Institute for International Economics. They predicted that a 25% tariff, if it stays in place, could shrink the U.S. GDP by a whopping $200 billion by 2029.
$200 billion?
Yeah, that's huge. And the budget lab at Yale University estimated that the average American household could lose around $1,200 in buying power every year.
Wow, so these are real numbers.
Yeah, real money that families could be spending on other things or saving. You know, this stuff can directly affect people right here in our communities.
And it's not just the country imposing the tariffs that feels the effects, right?
Exactly. Usually the countries hit with these tariffs, they don't just sit there and take it. They often hit back with their own tariffs on American goods.
Oh, okay.
This can escalate into a full-blown trade war.
Oh.
Where big trading partners like China, the Eurozone, and Canada, they all start slapping tariffs on each other's exports. And while they might think they're striking back at the original tariffs, they're also hurting their own citizens by making American products more expensive in their markets. It becomes this vicious cycle of higher prices and less trade for everyone involved.
It sounds like a mess, really.
It can be. It's this chain reaction that can really hurt a lot of industries and consumers. This reminds me of that example Rothbard used to show how ridiculous widespread tariffs can be. The Jones and Smith farm.
I'm not familiar with that one.
It's a great example. He calls it a reductio ad absurdum, which is a fancy way of taking an idea to its extreme to show how absurd it gets. So he talks about this farm, Jones's Acres. The owner, Jones, decides to put a 1,000% tariff on absolutely everything coming onto his farm from the outside world.
1,000%, yeah.
1,000%. His goal is to be completely self-sufficient, to buy Jones Acres, as he puts it. But what happens, Jones and his one employee, Smith, they have to work constantly just to produce the most basic stuff they need to survive.
Oh, wow.
They might be self-sufficient on paper, but their quality of life goes way down. They can't specialize in what they're good at. They can't benefit from trade with others. And even though they might be paying each other high wages in theory, the money is practically worthless because there's so little to buy with it.
So it's like they're going back in time almost.
Yeah.
To a less productive, more difficult way of life.
Exactly. And Rothbard's point is this. The same thing happens, just on a larger scale, when countries put tariffs on everything. It goes against the whole idea of a market, where people and businesses specialize in what they do best and trade with each other. If everyone tried to be totally self-sufficient, which is the logical endpoint of this thinking, everyone would be a lot poorer.
I see. It's like we're shooting ourselves in the foot, basically.
In a way, yeah. And this ties into broader economic and political ideas, too. Frederick Bastiat, writing in the mid-1800s, said that tariffs are actually a step towards socialism.
Really?
He even said, protectionism, socialism, and communism are basically the same plant in three different stages of its growth.
Wow.
And the common thread, it's the idea that the government should interfere in the market, picking winners and losers, instead of letting free trade decide things.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners?
So for you listening, especially here in Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena, it's this. Even though some people say tariffs are a way to help domestic industries, most of the economic analysis says they act like a tax on consumers. They lead to higher prices for everyday stuff, less choice in what you can buy, and a potential slowdown in the economy. And that can hurt local businesses and families.
And to bring it home to our area.
Yeah.
Think about how this could affect you and your neighbors here. If these tariffs make imported goods more expensive, that could mean you pay more at the grocery store,
right,
at the mall, for electronics, for clothes, for so many things.
Pretty much everything. And it could also hurt local businesses here in Southeast Houston. Companies that depend on imported materials to make their products.
Or companies that export their goods and now face tariffs in other countries.
Exactly. Those businesses could struggle. So it really shows how connected our local economy is to the global flow of goods and services.
In ways we don't always realize.
Right. Think about all the things made in the Houston area and the things sold in our stores. A lot of it comes from international trade. And in the end, it's the consumers, the people in our communities, who pay the price when there are restrictions on that trade.
So as you go about your day today, here in Deer Park, LaPorte, or Pasadena, think about all the stuff you use and where it comes from. Because if the policies meant to increase national wealth end up reducing your buying power and potentially hurting local businesses, well, that raises a big question. Are there other ways to create real economic prosperity in our communities without making life more expensive for everyone?
That's something to think about, for sure.
If you find value in our show, please support us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. Link in show notes.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.